name is Farida Khawaja. I'm an emergency medicine trainee currently based in Hobart and originally from Pakistan. And today I'm going to be addressing culture. Kunga, Nyuntupalya, lady, are you okay? I was using the same greeting for all the patients that I encountered until someone said, I understand what you're saying, but that is not how we say it in my language. I had assumed that all patients in Central Australia spoke the same language. This particular person spoke six languages, English being the sixth, and incorporated several cultural heritages into his life, including a life experience where rapid changes were occurring. From being born in a remote desert humpy, not being recognized as an Australian citizen, receiving segregated care and access to services, to now when he had a mobile phone and received medical care, such as an angiogram, that was so foreign to his worldview. It gave me a glimpse into the amount of change that patients I met had to deal with. Aboriginal Australia is diverse. According to Harrington, in 1788, approximately 700 tribes spoke 250 different languages. Now, in the 21st century, more than 100 languages have become extinct, and only 20 to 25 are being actively learned by children. There is diversity of language, diversity of cultural heritage, and life experiences, as people have encountered other dominant economic, social, educational paradigms which have influenced considerable change. So, it is important not to stereotype people. Many Aboriginal people can be fair-skinned and have a close affinity with traditional belief systems and familial responsibilities, which in the extended family connections can be very demanding. A person may neglect their own health for the well-being of others, focusing instead on attending to cultural and spiritual responsibilities. I often had patients who refused to stay in hospital because they had to attend a funeral despite their own dire medical needs. As Dr. Tamara McKeon of the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association says, to us, health is about so much more than simply not being sick. It's about getting a balance between physical, mental, emotional, cultural and spiritual health. Health and healing are interwoven, which means that one can't be separated from the other. Cross-cultural encounters can result in triggers. They can result in assumptions and in biases. I find such encounters are an opportunity to understand our own worldviews and how they influence relationships with others. Knowing the cultural background and context of a person's life and endeavoring to listen and understand how they influence a person helps us as medical practitioners to respond with respect, empathy, and with sensitivity. For example, some of the patients I encountered live in poverty. They experience racism and have to cope with a high burden of disease, often from a young age, both personally and within extended family networks, which can lead to a deep and pervasive experience of loss. These life experiences can significantly affect a person's interaction with medical practitioners, their confidence, their expectations, and their reactions. One of my patients with worsening chronic kidney disease, now requiring dialysis, was adamant about seeing the traditional healer before the medical doctor. The doctor caring for her at the time was similarly adamant that a visit to the healer wasn't going to help. He was very, very forceful with his opinion and felt extremely frustrated with this encounter. This story highlights how for some Aboriginal persons, traditional healers and traditional medicinal practices play a significant role in patients' physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Allowing a person to feel safe in personal belief systems and exercising them helps create an environment where people engage in the care modern medicine has to offer. People find their own personal balance, where traditional belief systems, Christian belief systems, and modern medical systems all influence how a person lives and cares for themselves. Our worldviews and explanations for life experiences can be varied. In feeling safe and respected, patients find their own peace and may even divulge very personal, occasionally sacred information. For some Aboriginal people, the experience of hospital is very daunting. Patients perceive the spirits of diseased family members because cleansing ceremonies have not occurred. I've had patients occasionally refuse admission to certain wards for fear of encountering the spirits. Familial and kinship relationship rules can also explain how people relate with the dominant health system. It is important to seek assistance from the Aboriginal liaison officers who can inform us about who can consent to procedures, as one person might have several mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters who may not be biologically related. It is also important to be aware of the significance of gender. When seeking assistance from an ALO, an Aboriginal liaison officer, a female person should assist with a female patient. Healthcare providers should consider patient preference, where often a female patient will prefer a female carer, particularly for bathing, indwelling catheter placement, etc. At times, it is not possible to be gender sensitive. However, in my experience, once the situation and the reason for doing the procedure are explained, patients often consent. There are several resources, books, DVDs, that can assist you to become more familiar with the history of Aboriginal peoples in Australia. The resources shed a glimmer of light onto some of the stories. But I find it is important to draw on our own personal experiences as well. The diverse cross-cultural encounters and reflecting on your own attitudes, taking time to listen and learn, can help foster unique relationships and deeper understandings. The broader goals of care and of helping a patient to be well apply to all that we care for. But how these goals are achieved will differ according to the individual needs of the patient. For example, contacting someone who doesn't have a permanent home, access to a phone or a letterbox will be different to someone who does. Similarly, additional problem-solving skills are needed when arranging home oxygen for a person who doesn't have access to electricity or a safe place to store the machine. As health practitioners, it invites creativity of response. In summary, it's important not to stereotype. It's also important to be aware of our own triggers, our own assumptions, and our biases. I find it's important and helpful to make myself familiar with a patient's personal context and belief systems. Ensuring a patient's safety in their personal belief systems also helps to facilitate their engagement with the care we have to provide. Working in cross-cultural situations also invites us as medical practitioners to respond creatively in ensuring the achievement of goals of care for the patient as you negotiate individual contexts.